one of a few ministers in a Messianic Jewish congregation that meets in Squirrel Hill. And in fact, I was called HaRosh HaShamashim, which means the head of the servants. Sometimes we'll call that, go ahead. I will sometimes refer to that as having been assistant rabbi. And my Old Testament professor would probably be smiling if he knew about that, because when he taught Old Testament, he taught it from a Hebrew perspective, not a Christian perspective. And I thought that was neat, but when I wrote my final paper, he gave me an F and said, "You missed the entire point." And I had never gotten an F on something I had actually tried to do in my life. Next year, I took the same course with the same teacher, and I got an A+ on the final paper. I'd gotten the point. So I look at all of Scripture from a Hebrew mindset, and I look at the way God wants me to live my life as an imitation of Jesus. And so I look at Jesus' life and think, how can I imitate him in my life? And so wearing these traditional Jewish garments is something that Jesus would have done. And in the Gospel of Matthew, actually in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's a story about the woman who had an issue of blood. I had a great deal of fun with this one year because we had an exhibit of Torah scrolls that came to Squirrel Hill, and I was the rabbi in residence for the time of that display. And there was a Gentile woman who came in with her two kids, and they were fascinated with what I was wearing. And I pointed out to them that when the woman who had the issue of blood looked up and said, "If I can only touch his garment," well, translators have picked that word garment, and it's not a good word because it misses the Hebrew perspective. Because the clothing that Jesus would have wore had these little things we call in English tassels or fringes. And in some translations, it gets a little bit closer by using the word hem. If only I could touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. So I borrowed my favorite old lady to come up and just demonstrate that. Thank you, dear. Anyway, those kids were fascinated by the idea of a prayer shawl. And when I think about that particular passage, the woman, was she healed by the garment? No. By your faith, you are healed. When you come forward to this altar and receive a touch of oil on your forehead and are healed, are you touched by the oil on your forehead? Are you healed by that? You're healed by your faith. If your faith is only that of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Some of you have heard me speak before and know that I only have one sermon topic. And it has to do with what our Lord said to me when he visited me some 50 years ago. Ouch. Yeah, August 11th, 1972, the Lord came into my bedroom while I was recovering slowly from a drunken stoning exercise. And he looked at me and he said, "Tell my people I love them." Now, some of you know I'm something of an intellectual and I read constantly. And it would have been made more sense from a human perspective for Jesus to have said, go teach in the university. Make more ministers. No, he said, tell my people I love them. So if you remember nothing else from this message, please remember, Jesus loves you. How many of you know that God is a wonderful pun teller? Now, Joyce, you should be raising your hand because you know. Yeshua is one example of it. And we have the word Yeshua all over the Old Testament. And in transliteration, it's spelled Y-E-S-H-U-A-H. It's got an H on the end. Whereas Jesus' name doesn't have the H. But it sounds the same. And I'm going to give you like a quarter of a message that I gave to the Jewish congregation. When I have conversations with my Jewish friends who are not believers in Messiah, Jesus as the Messiah, they will say, you know, Jesus was a great prophet, period. And then I watch as we're having prayers or they're reading scripture out loud, and I hear them say things like, for your salvation, O Lord, I wait. That's from Genesis 49, it's verse 18. In the Hebrew, the word there is Yeshua. For your Yeshua, I wait, O Lord, and I smile. They know not what they're saying. In Exodus 15, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation, or Yeshua. This is my God, and I will praise him. In Judges, when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord raised up a Yeshua-er, a deliverer for the sons of Israel to deliver them. In Samuel, Hannah prayed. This particular section is very, very special to me because the little girl that you often see coming in with Marie, who came into this world 5.5 years ago as a result of a pastoral intervention that I undertook, her name is Hannah. And in 1 Samuel 2, Hannah prayed, my heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your Yeshua, salvation. I grew up singing in an Anglican boys choir. So if you've ever seen on Sunday morning, you know, a Christmas service with a bunch of little kids in angelic kind of costumes singing very high, I was one of them. And most of what we sang were the Psalms. We sang at least two Psalms every Sunday. And so I have most of the Psalms memorized to music. If you ask me to recite it, I've got to stop and sing the song in my head before I can give you the words. Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my Yeshua, my stronghold. The classic ending to sermons when I was growing up, I'm sorry, beginning of sermons, and I often use this myself, comes from Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, this does not have a Yeshua in it. Well, it sort of does, because it's let the words of my heart and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my, the word there is not exactly Yeshua, but it's an equivalent word. My rock and my Yeshua. There's another Hebrew word that I often use, and as I was sitting back there trying to get my heart to calm down and my mind to organize the 2 hours or so of material that I've been thinking about in the 2.5 hours since Danny asked me to do this. My favorite prayer in humility, and it comes from that same passage where Hannah is speaking. The Hebrew word is hineni. Now, we all know, most of us know the story of Samuel, who was delivered by his mother, Hannah, to the temple. She had not been able to have children for a long time, and then all of a sudden, she had a child, and she had promised God that she would dedicate that child to the temple. And we have baby dedications. Where's Sean? Did Sean disappear? Oh, that's too easy. We had a baby dedication for your little girl there. Right, girl? Okay. Scared me there. And we do things a little bit differently here in the English world. He dedicated his daughter and then took her with him. In Jewish tradition, when you dedicate your child, you leave them at the altar. They're no longer your child. They're God's child. And that was Samuel. Hannah brought Samuel to the temple, dedicated him to the Lord's work, and left him there. And the prophet who was resident in the temple that took over Samuel's development and upbringing was Eli. And the religious community that Marie and I used to live in, which was made up of primarily professional musicians, had a song in their children's songbook that was based on this passage in Samuel, where Samuel was in the temple trying to sleep, actually sleeping, and somebody woke him up and said, "Samuel." And Samuel got up, being the nice, obedient little Jewish boy, and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, what do you want?" And Eli said, "I didn't call you, go back to sleep." And it happened again. The Lord spoke to Samuel and said, "Samuel." And Samuel jumped up and ran, and you can hear it in the song, the footprint says, Samuel is running along in the temple, clomping on the wooden floors. And he gets to Eli and says, "Here I am, what do you want?" And Eli said, "Wasn't me, go back to bed." And it happened a third time, but this time Eli was awake enough that he got a clue. And he said to Samuel, "It's the Lord, Adonai, who is calling you. Go back to your bed and lie there patiently. And when the next voice says your name, say, 'Here I am, Lord.'" In Hebrew, that's Hineni Adonai. When I'm feeling too full of myself, I will often sit in a corner and just say, "Hineni, Lord." And most of the time, I can't say it without crying like I am now. I mentioned that I met Jesus 50 years ago, but I did not follow him at that time. I did sort of a reverse St. Paul. I went on a rampage against Christians after having met Jesus. But several years later, I had a revelation involving the death of my father, which I don't have time to go into this morning. And as a result, I went through a short course in Christianity. It was February 40 years ago. I just recently celebrated that anniversary. And a year later, this lovely, beautiful, tall, blonde went through the same program, and I was there providing music for that program. A couple of months later, she came up to me after a worship set and said, "Can I have a copy of your music?" And I said, "Of course." And then she said, "If I come back to one of these things where you're playing music, I'd like to offer to bring either my electric bass or a recorder, you know, a little flute kind of thing." And I was kind of stunned because I'd never had a pretty girl offer either of those. And I thought, pretty girl with a bass can't go wrong. This is not the bass she played. That one was stolen, unfortunately. But that was 40 years ago. And as a result of that short course, I realized that the gifts that God had given me in my younger years, memorizing all of, you know, all of the Psalms and most of the Old Testament and some of the New Testament, was God's way of preparing me to do something special for him, of setting me aside, which is what the word ordained means. Now, at that point, I was 25. I did not go for ordination. In fact, as soon as I realized that God was calling me to be ordained, I said, no. My greatest spiritual gift is procrastination. And so I dug in my feet and said, no. And it wasn't until 13 years ago when I became disabled, almost lost my arms, hit me, that I finally said, okay, I get it. You don't have to hit me too hard. And when I was released from the hospital in a wheelchair is when I finished my ministry studies and was licensed. And the rest is history. We'll talk about some other day. I keep going back to God's instruction to me. Jesus said, tell my people I love them. And there really is no greater way to do that than through music. And so a great deal of my ministry has music attached to it. I even bill myself as Pittsburgh's singing chaplain. But as part of the idea of telling people that God loves them, that Jesus loves them, is wrapped up in that word that we're often very uncomfortable about, the E word. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Evangelism. It's okay to worship and to sing, but I'm not sure I'm up for evangelism. Is Dwayne here? Wherever Dwayne is, God bless him. He does things that I can't choose to do. But somebody once told me that a very, very excellent way of discussing evangelism, it's not standing on a street corner and yelling at people about their sins and they're going to hell and blah, blah, blah. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Think about that. You know how to be fed. You come here, you read the word, you pray, you fellowship with other Christians. You know how to be fed. Most of us have a next door neighbor who doesn't know how to be fed. And if you said, hey, I know where we can eat. Come with me Sunday morning and I'll show you. Think of it as a brunch. Then you take them in the back room and give them some real bread. there's a passage from Matthew that is kind of special. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, Jesus asked them, the king, what's his name? He asked them where the Messiah would be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem, in Bethlehem of Yehuda, Bethlehem of Judah. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, being small amongst the clans of Judah, one of you, out of you, one will come forth to me who is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forths are from of old, from everlasting. And in light of this kind of new definition of evangelism, one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread, who besides Joyce knows what Bethlehem means? House of bread. Does God like to tell jokes? That is puns. I'm wrapping up, so let's have the worship team come forward, please. There's another joke that I like to tell, not quite in the same spirit of what we've been talking about, but mindful of Danny's predicament this morning. When I think about Adam and Eve, and I do a lot of weddings, and I talk to couples about the difference between marriage and wedding, because marriage is a relationship, and a wedding is an event. And Adam and Eve never had an event. They never had a wedding. They had a relationship, which we call marriage. And I talk about that when I meet with couples that are asking me to officiate at their ceremony. And every once in a while, I'll tell them about when Adam was put to sleep and they took the rib out of his side. Now, granted, if you can stay asleep during the procedure, it doesn't hurt to do that. But I've had several surgeries on my abdomen. And even though I was asleep during the procedure, I woke up and it hurt. Well, the Hebrew word for man is ish, I-S-H. No big deal, right? The female word for man, think about the rib coming out of his side, is ish, ah! Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I learned this in sign language many years ago. And when I was a chaplain at the county jail, there was a deaf inmate. And I was able to look at him and say, Jesus loves you. In his native language. The song was we were going to do. Oh, yes. I mentioned that as evidence of God's planning for this morning, he gave Joe a number of songs about the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, your great name. And without knowing what those songs were, because I don't look at the music before we come here on Sunday morning, I wanted to talk about the name, Yeshua, and surrendering to the name with the phrase, Hineni, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord, should be Hineni Adonai, but you get the idea. And so I wanted to end with this song. New guy on our worship team is named Aaron, an important Hebrew name. And in Numbers 6, the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to Aaron and his sons and tell them that this is how you are to bless the people of Israel. You are to say to them, Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerechecha, Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'ikunecha, Yisa Adonai panav eleka v'yasem lecha shalom," which means, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his favor. May the Lord lift up his face toward you and give you peace." And some of you will have noticed that I'm using the Vulcan sign here. Leonard Nimoy was an observant Jew, and he wanted a lot of Jewish things attached to Spock. And so when Spock looks at somebody and says, "Live long and prosper," the Hebrew word that phrase would translate into is simply shalom. I wish you shalom.